Please open your Bibles to the book of John, the 21st chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1144. Beginning with the third verse, which is the text verse, we'll read through verse 11. And then we have another place to which we will turn after that. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively, verses 3 through 11 of John chapter 21. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple, whom Jesus loved, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And let's read the 11th together also. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Let's turn to the 6th chapter of John, John chapter 6, page 1124 in your Scofield Bible. We're reading two verses, verses 66 and 67. John 6, verses 66 and 67. Let's just read the verses together. Ready? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And let's pray. Father, how we pray for your special help for us tonight. We're thankful that we get to come to church. We're thankful that you watch over us, and that you love us. We thank you that you've prepared something for us tonight. However, there were some folks who came tonight and who cannot be with us right now. Please bless the Simpson family. And then we pray for your help for each of us as we, of course, listen to thee. Thank you for our preacher, and thank you for our church, and for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, what a Savior, and what a gospel, and what a book. We come now to discuss what I think is a very vital subject, and I pray your help and strength for me and for those who hear me. In Jesus' name, amen. Just when they needed him the most, or he needed them the most, just when he was at the darkest hour of his life, forsaken by all, Peter was cursing, denying him. The disciples forsook him and fled. And even after his resurrection, they were less than zealous in their love for him and their work for him. Peter said, I go a-fishing. And six of the disciples said, We go with thee. Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and it says two other disciples. I do not know who they were. Peter didn't say, Let's go fishing. He said, I go fishing. And John said, I think I'll go with you. James said, I think I'll go too. Nathaniel said, count me in. Thomas said, I'm going to go too. I'm doubting the whole mess anyway. I'm going to go too. Two other disciples said, and these disciples that I want, that are unnamed, are important tonight to me. These two other disciples said, we also go with thee. You see, Peter quit, but didn't quit alone. He took six people with him. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 67, it said that then some people turned from him. And Jesus turned and said, will ye also go away? For he full well knew that the quitting business has a domino effect. Nobody ever quits alone. When Abraham went to Egypt, are you listening to me? When Abraham went to Egypt, Abraham happened to take his nephew Lot with him. And Lot saw Egypt. They came back from Egypt. Lot's herdmen, Abraham's herdmen, had some strife between them. And Abraham said, let there be no strife. He said, you choose what land you want. And Lot chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom, because in Genesis 13:10 it says it was like the land of Egypt. It was like the land of Egypt. Why did Lot go to Sodom? Because Abraham quit and took Lot with him. Why was Sodom destroyed by fire and brimstone? Because Abraham went to Egypt and took Lot with him. Why did Lot's wife turn to a pillar of salt? Because Abraham quit and took Lot with him. Why were two heathen nations born? And by the way, the Middle Eastern crisis today basically is caused by men and women in the Old Testament not being in the will of God. Every bit of the Arab problem that's over there is caused by Abraham and Hagar bringing forth a child named Ishmael, and that child named Ishmael bringing forth the Arab people. I'm not against the Arab people at all. They're lovely people. In fact, I myself happen to like the Arab people. In the Middle East, more than like the Jewish people. Now, I may make somebody mad either way, but they're delightful and lovely people. But why is that true? It's true because God's people quit, but nobody ever quits alone. When Elimelech and Naomi decided to go down to Moab to sojourn for a while, they stayed for 10 years, and everybody that goes and descends to sojourn stays longer than they plan to stay. Just one night in lover's lane means many nights in lover's lane. Just one little martini means many martinis. And just one little 1 week of not tithing means many weeks of not tithing. Nobody plans to go into sin and be wrecked and ruined. Nobody says, I think I'll go into sin so I can go to the penitentiary and spend my life. No, Pete Rose didn't say, I think I'll go to prison for 5 months. No, he gambled a little bit. Maybe the lottery first. I never have understood why the same folks that will put you in jail for gambling one way encourage you to gamble another way. It's wrong, it's crooked, it's vile, it's rotten, it's filthy, it's inconsistent and godless. But nobody plans to go into sin to stay. I want to sojourn. But Elimelech, Naomi went down to sojourn in Moab, but they stayed for 10 years. But somebody went with them. Mahlon and Chilion, their two sons, went with them. Nobody quits alone. Elimelech, you can't quit by yourself. You got a wife that's going to quit too. And you can't quit by yourselves, Elimelech and Naomi. You got a son named Mahlon. He's going to quit too. And you can't quit by yourselves, Naomi and Elimelech, because you got a son named Chilion, and he's going to quit too. Nobody ever quits alone. John Mark turned back. And you say, well, John Mark quit alone. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. When the Apostle Paul decided to take the second missionary journey, he told Barnabas. He said, Barnabas, let's go. And Barnabas said, okay, but let's take my nephew John Mark. And Paul said, I'm not going to do that. And Barnabas said, well, okay, then I won't go. So when John Mark quit, Barnabas quit with him.
And Barnabas, by the way, we don't know what in the world he did after that. His name is mentioned a few times because of the grace of God and the grace of the Apostle Paul. But pretty well, it was his ministry was pretty well nullified after that. I'm saying nobody quits alone. When Absalom decided to quit, rebel against his father, he took with him Mephibosheth of all the people that never should have gone with Absalom, Mephibosheth. That little crippled fellow who, when he was about 5 years of age, was taken from the land of Lodibar and placed as the son of the king because he was of the family of Saul. That little crippled fellow who was poor and forgotten and forsaken and crippled, and that little fellow taken and placed as one of the king's sons to sit at the king's table, to be one of the king's heirs. And that little fellow turned. It's an amazing thing that people that are turncoats are oftentimes the ones you've done the most for. Now, of all the people that should have stayed by David, it should have been Mephibosheth. But Absalom, he quit, and so when he quit, Mephibosheth quit. That isn't all. David had what he thought was a faithful counselor from his youth named Ahithophel. And when Absalom quit, Ahithophel quit. When Absalom quit, Mephibosheth quit. When Absalom quit, any numbers of others quit along with him. You go right ahead. Well, I'm gonna. No, you're not gonna go out by yourself. You House Anderson College married men with children who haven't got the guts to stay in college and the courage to see it through. When you go back, tuck your tail under your between your legs and take off back home. You got a little child that's with you too. You got a wife that's with you, and you got the other children with you. And by the way, other couples will see you and turn back also. No, you never. Well, you say it's my business if I quit. No, it's not your business. Nobody ever quits alone. When Balaam was approached by those men from Moab, they came and they said, "Mr. Balaam, we'd like you to come down." He was a fundamental preacher. He was the big evangelist of his day. No doubt the best preacher in all the land and among all the people of God. And they came and said, "Come down, preach for us." And Balaam said, "No, can't do that. That'd be wrong." It's always wrong for God's preachers to preach under heathen sponsorship. It's always wrong for God's preachers to yoke up with unbelievers in any kind of an endeavor. But they came back and they offered him more honors and degree and honorary degree, an honor of divination, the Bible says. And Balaam went down. But Balaam didn't quit by himself. He took a whole nation with him. Young people intermarried, and they married the heathen young people, and they had heathen children, and a whole nation was ruined. I'm saying you never quit by yourself. Quitting is a domino effect. One person quits, and that knocks over another. That person quits, that knocks over another. When somebody gets disgruntled, they've always got a friend that's disgruntled. And that person's got a friend that gets disgruntled. And that person's got a friend that gets disgruntled. You never quit by yourself. Now, here's the sad thing. Usually, the first guy that quits does fairly well. But the people that follow him, you check and see how they turn out. I'm going to get to that after a while. But the tragedy is, here's a fellow, he gets disgruntled, and he decides he's going to quit. So what happens to him? He gets a job somewhere. But some other people decide to quit, but he doesn't give them a job where he goes. And they end up without a job. Why? Because the people that quit with him were not fortunate like he was. And that's the way it all happens. Now, by the way, that's one of the reasons why I keep going. I keep going because if I quit, other people quit. People say, "Well, why do you keep on going?" I'll be 64 years old next month, September 25th. You might want to make a note of that. But I'll be 64 years of age next month. I could resign this church tonight. Don't get your hopes up, but I could resign this church tonight. And I could schedule myself the rest of my life. Marco, you know it's true. I could schedule myself the rest of my life and never miss a single day as long as I live preaching somewhere. I wouldn't have to raise a budget. I wouldn't have to build buildings. I wouldn't have to take care of all the administration. I could just have the gravy like Dr. Robertson's doing right now, Dr. Tom Wallace is doing right now, traveling all across the country just preaching and having the gravy of the ministry and no administration and so forth. And I could do that. Well, you say, "Preacher, why don't you?" Well, there are many reasons why I don't. One reason is I don't quit because I know some of you would quit if I quit. And that's one reason. I don't quit because of you. You could get some pastor in here that's younger than I am. In fact, you couldn't get any probably much older than I am. But you get some young whippersnapper in here, and he could be charming, and he wouldn't be as good looking as I am. But it takes years to develop this kind of mature figure, and so forth. And this hairstyle didn't come easy either, by the way. This is a work of art, what I'm saying, he come in here and he could be a young, a new broom to sweep and so forth, but he couldn't love you like I love you. And he wouldn't love you like I love you. He couldn't love you after 31 days like I've loved you after 31 years. Say, why don't you take it easy when you get older? I don't plan to take it easy. I plan to die right in this pulpit right here. And I don't plan to take it easy. I plan to keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Listen, if I quit, some of these young folks over here would quit. If I quit, some of the young folks here in this church would quit. You say, why don't you quit? Because nobody quits alone. Nobody else is going to counsel with you night after night like I've done through all these years. Nobody else is going to, and by the way, no preacher's wife is going to take what Ms. Howes has taken all these years either, of nights at home alone while I'm up here counseling. And nobody's going to do that. That's why I don't quit. I don't want somebody coming here can't love you like they ought to love you and doesn't live and die with you like they should. I don't quit because of the bus kids. That's one reason I don't quit. Not many people are going to take all the guff that I take to keep those buses rolling. Brother Ray came the other night to me and said, Brother Hiles, he said, we've got enough money now to go through the summer. How are we going to do about the fall program to keep the buses running? That's $4,000, isn't it? Every week. So far, we have exactly enough money to take care of us through the summer. We've gotten $82,000. Is that what we needed? $82,000 through last Sunday. That's exactly what we had. Now, listen, somebody's got to keep running. Somebody's got to keep it going. Somebody's got to say, I'm willing to take all the guff and keep these bus kids. And by the grace of God, I will, by the way, as long as I'm here. I love those kids. And if I quit, some of them quit. And if I quit, they'll have no buses. And you say, you think you're pretty important. You dead sure better know I think I'm pretty important. I think I have the most important job on the face of God's earth. I think the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, is the most important job in the world. You say, you must think you're hot stuff. No, I'm not hot stuff. But I got a job that's pretty hot stuff. And I've given myself to this job. And I'm not going to quit. And by the way, if I don't quit, you ought not to quit. If I stay with it, you are. If I stay with it, you guys at 25 years old, I'd be ashamed let an old man 64 years old outwork me. I'd be ashamed let a fellow take the guff that I've taken and taking right now, and you quit when I keep on going. No, sir. No, sir. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I, not I. Shall I turn back into the world? No, no, not I. Why? Because somebody's going to quit if I quit. You say, why do you stay? I'll tell you why I stay. Hammond Baptist Schools. And we fight. I fight to keep those things open. That man will tell you right now, we just barely staying alive. When you say, well, how is it worth it? Well, of course it's worth it. The greatest young folks in all the world go to our school system. I don't quit because if I quit, that bus kid high school would probably close down there. I know what I'm talking about. But you say, I know my enemies will take care of this. Well, I'll give them a lot of... Take some notes if you're my enemy. Write it down here. Take some notes, you folks that are spies for the other crowd. Write some notes. Take them down. But I tell you why I don't quit. I don't quit because I realize that somebody else would quit if I quit. I don't quit because I want Hammond Baptist Schools to stay open. I don't quit because I want these preacher boys at Howes Anderson College to look up and say, that old man stayed. And brother, when you face your battle and you face your hard times and you face the wall in your ministry, I want you to look back and say, boy, I remember when I was in college, that old man walked out there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. He tried to lift us up when he might have been a little discouraged himself, and he kept on going. Onward, forward, shout! Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Don't quit. Don't quit. Somebody always quits with you. I remember I had an appointment about a year ago, just about a year ago now maybe. But the appointment was made in the spring, and before we could get a date, it was in the summertime, and the pastor of a church out in the south part of the county or out south of Hammond, a few miles, one of our fine pastor friends, I made an appointment, and he came in to see me. And between the time he made the appointment and the time that he came to see me, our big battle, my big battle had started. And he came in that night, and I said, "What can I do for you?" He said, "You've already done it." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I was discouraged and about to quit." But he said, "Since the time that happened, your battle started." And he said, "I looked at you and I said to myself, if he can keep on going, I'll keep on going." "Yeah, I don't need the appointment," he said. "Just wanted to come by to tell you that what you've lived has told me what I wanted to need to hear. I'm simply saying, you say, all over the house, you dead sure shouldn't quit. You stay in there. You hang in there. Well, you stay in there and hang in there too. I've got as much right to resign this church tonight as you do to resign your bus route. I've got as much right to resign this church tonight as you have to resign your Sunday school class. I mean, don't quit. Don't quit. Why? Because somebody goes with you. You never go alone. I don't quit because of the teachers and workers that are employed here. There's some young ladies, single ladies, living on starvation wages. If Brother Hiles doesn't watch carefully all the time and see to it they get their salaries, they won't have a job. And they won't be in full-time service for God. And I keep on going because I want those young ladies to get their salaries. I keep on going because I want the older people that work for us. You ever stop and think what would happen to Brother Sprunger if I quit? You ever stop and wonder how Mr. Lorentz is going to make it financially if I quit? Ever dawn on you what's going to happen to Mrs. Colbert, who works at our college, who's crippled, cannot even walk upstairs, if I quit? You ever wonder what would happen to Mr. Paulson if I quit? I'm not going to quit. No way. No way. I mean, brother, you can huff and puff all you want to. And brother, my enemies are in for a long battle. I mean, I'm just like Vietnam, brother. I ain't going to be licked. No way. Say what you want to. Make up all the dirty, rotten, stinking lies. And everything they've said is nothing but filthy, sorry, rotten lies. That's all they are. Go ahead and make them up. I'm not going to quit. Why? I got some people looking to me for their salaries next payday. I'm not going to turn my back on them. They've stood with me through thick and thin. Bless God, I'm in this thing till I see Jesus. I've got some young families. Look over and see Pollard Mercer and his family, the others. I want to keep them in God's work. Well, you say, don't you think anybody else could do the job like you're doing it? If they could have, they'd be doing it. Now, you must think you're hot stuff. No, I think I'm working stuff. I think I'm loving stuff. I think I'm sincere stuff. And I think I'm the man that God has chosen to stay behind this pulpit. And as long as I live, I'm going to look at these young people over here and say, kids, you got yourself a school as long as Brother Hiles is alive and well. I'm going to look at those rescue mission men up there and say, fellas, you got yourself a mission as long as I'm alive and well. I'm going to say to those blind, deaf folks back there, you got yourself a deaf department as long as I'm blind. What would happen to Maxine Jeffries if something happened to me? I'm simply saying, somebody's got to keep the bills paid, and somebody's got to keep the problem solved, and somebody's got to keep the organization, and somebody's got to keep the administration. No, I'm not going to quit, because if I quit, others would quit. I'm saying, somebody would quit if you quit also. Keep on going. It's not easy. Whoever said it's supposed to be easy? Harry Truman said, you can't stand the heat, don't get in the kitchen. But he told me that one time. I said, I don't mind that, but good night to every room in the house is a kitchen. I don't quit because these public school kids over here. Somebody's got to raise the money. Somebody's got to keep the bills paid. Somebody's got to work on the budget. Somebody's got to oversee it. And I want those kids to have a chance. I want them to have a chance to find out that when the professor says in the public school that man came a monkey, the professor's a monkey himself. I want them to find out that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I'm going to find out that this Bible, every word of it, is the Word of God. I want them to go to some place every week on a Sunday where they can hear the truth preached instead of error, and the gospel instead of humanism and humanistic philosophy. I'm simply saying, I've got to go on. I cannot turn back. Why? Because somebody would quit and somebody would lose if I quit or if I turn back. And I say to you tonight, you're obligated to God. I never will forget. By the way, I'm obligated also to those who stood by me for 31 years. I'll never forget when I'd been here a year, we had our battle. I mean, I could tell you stuff that curl your hair or wrinkle your head, whichever the case may be. In my case, some of each. But I could tell you stuff, oh my soul, you talk about battles. Back yonder in those early days, after we'd been here a year, and we had a battle, and these people stood beside me and behind me, way behind me. And I got a call or a letter from the High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri. At that time, one of the 10 largest churches in America, 3,000 in Sunday school. We were trying to stay over 700 in those days, and oh, the battle was rough. And boy, Ms. Hiles and I flew down to Springfield, Missouri to candidate at the High Street Baptist Church. Over four times as big as our church at the time. Influential church. And I got a letter from Burley Fields. He's in heaven now. His widow was here last week, or before last one. Got a letter from Burley Fields. And Burley Fields said, Dear Brother Hiles, how could you consider leaving us? We stood by you. Now you stand by us. I'll never forget that. For 31 years, you stood by me. For 31 years, you trusted me. Now I'm going to stand by you. And I call you tonight. Stay in the battle. I'm not talking just about my battle. I'm talking about stay busy for God. I'm talking about that. Don't quit. Somebody quits with you. Don't turn back. Somebody turns back with you. And as I said a while ago, the sad part is that the folks who follow the leaders who get upset and turn back and quit, what happens to them? A man, Howells Anderson College. Now listen carefully to me. A man in Howells Anderson College, about, maybe 17 years, 15, 20 years ago, decided to leave. I didn't know when he left. He was upset. But I found out later he was upset. He took about 20 folks with him. Went to another state. Now, he's still in the ministry. But you can't find those 20 people. Find them for me. That's the tragedy. I mean, you can't find them. Whatever happened to Lot's herdman? Lot became the mayor of Sodom, I think. Whatever happened to his herdman? A few years ago, Howells Anderson College, one of our teachers took 40 students. Going to start a school of his own. It's as unethical as can be. Went to our students and asked them to leave. Went to our faculty members, asked them to go with him to start another college in a southern state. College, and start another church too. Started the church. Church disbanded now. Started the college, Bible Institute. It's disbanded now. Now that man is pastoring a church in the South. But where are those 40 kids? Where are they? Find out. Tell me where they are. You don't know where they are. Tell me the churches they pastor. You can take any 40 students that stayed in Howells Anderson College and graduated. When those 40 students left, I'll guarantee you 30 of those students right now are pastors of churches or evangelists or missionaries or teaching in Christian schools and serving God full time. I want to tell you something tonight. Don't you quit with the quitters. Stay with the stairs. Certain man followed the number one enemy, the guy that's behind all of it, mystic behind all of it. certain man followed him. Decided to start a church over near Chicago. Check and see how his church did. Check and see how many folks they had this morning. Say, what are you saying? What I want to. Been that way 43 years. I ain't aiming to quit now. I don't like what you're saying. Well, join the crowd and go out and start a church that fizzles. Show me one Hiles Anderson College young man that followed those quitters and quit with the quitters and has a great church. Show me one. Well, I can take you and show you all over this nation, 350 churches or so pastored by Hiles Anderson College graduates who stayed when others quit. That's the tragedy. Some turncoat rebel wants to turn his back on decency and wants to be a rebel. And I've got more respect for a pimp than I have a rebel. And wants to do it? Let him do it by himself. Find him for me. Used to be a man who was principal of our City Baptist School down here. And I'll say it if I want to say it. Became disloyal. Took about 20 of our young people. Not the kids, but our college people. I can tell you where he is now. Went back to his home neighborhood and tried to split his home church. Started a church on his own, about 2 blocks from his home church. Once a rebel, always a rebel. Okay, he has a little church trying to parasite off his home church. But where are those 20 kids? That's what breaks my heart. Where are those 20 kids? Young Hiles Anderson students, don't follow the quitters. Follow the stairs. It's almost like what you're saying. I don't give a flip whether you like it or not. Brother, it's time somebody beat some sense in some of you folks' heads. You stick with the stairs. Brother, I've always done that. Back yonder years ago, when my pastor, J.C. Sizemore, who was my pastor, when he was about my age, there was some opposition in the church that rose up against him. I was pastoring then in Garland, Texas. Some opposition rose up against my preacher. He said, Brother Howe, did you check and see who was right? No, sir, brother. I trusted God's man. I'm not going to go into the FBI business. You say, yeah, oh, shut up. I drove my car out to the Hillcrest Baptist Church. I walked down the aisle of Hillcrest Baptist Church and walked up on that platform at that time as their favorite preacher boy. My pastor was about 5'7" tall, little bitty fella. And I put my arm around that man in front of the church where I grew up and where I was licensed, where I was ordained. Mrs. Hiles and I were married. And I put my arm around that little fellow, taught me more Bible than anybody else in the whole world. And I said, I want the Hillcrest Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, to know that Jack Hiles is for this man. Some of the little pipsqueak, pussyfoot, near tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, soft soaping, pink tea and lemonade preacher boys turned on a pastor. Not a one of them's in the ministry now. Not a one of them! Dr. John Rice faced the battle of his life. He's about my age, by the way. I stood right beside him. Curtis Hudson had his battle at the sword of the Lord when Mr. Sumner and others tried to cause an insurrection. I went down there, flew down there, and used every bit of influence and power that I had, stood right beside Curtis Hudson. And by the way, that day the sword of the Lord was saved. Dr. John Rice had his battle with Bob Jones Jr., and Dr. Jones wrote a book about it, about him against Dr. Rice. I didn't read the stupid book. No way. And I stood right beside Dr. Rice when he had his battle with Dr. Custer at Bob Jones University about the Bible. I stood with Dr. Rice. Not the guy that's doubting the Bible, the guy that's believing the Bible is the one I stand for. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, there's more to it than you saying, well, I just think I'm tired. Well, I'm tired too. Well, I tell you what, I think a younger person could do a better job than I am. No younger person is going to do a better job than I am. No way. You guys on the platform. No way. No way. You say you got more energy than they got? No, but I can fake it. Hang in there. Don't quit. Somebody quits with you. Balaam, there's a whole nation following you. Peter, you're going to go fishing. You ought to go spreading the gospel. The resurrected Christ is out over on the shore. He just rose from the dead. You ought to be out soul winning, fishing, preaching, fishing for sinners. Souls. I go fishing. Peter, the sad thing about it is that John said, I'm going to go too. And James said, I'm going to go too. And Nathaniel said, me too. And Thomas said, me too. And two other disciples said, me too. You may jump in water and you may get out of the water, but you're going to bring some of the water out with you. And there's somebody that's attached to you enough, they're going to do what you do. There's not a Sunday school superintendent in this church. But what if you quit? Somebody would quit with you. C.W. Fisk worked here for 18 years. Two terms. He was here for a number of years. One of the finest men I know. Started off working here as a full-time custodian. Then half-time custodian, half-time soul winner. Then full-time soul winner. Then assistant pastor. For 18 years, Sidney Fisk and I never had one crossword. Not one crossword. In all those years. When he came and told me that he was going to leave, he said, Preacher, I don't want to go, but God has spoken to my heart, and I've got to go, and I'm about to die. And he went up, came, rushed over to me and threw his arms around me and cried on my shoulder for 5 minutes and hugged me and said, Preacher, I don't want to go. I love you like I love my own dad. I don't want to go. And yet we lost five families over that. He didn't quit. He felt led of God to go somewhere else. What am I saying? I'm saying there's somebody that's going to quit when you quit. There's somebody going to get disgruntled when you get disgruntled. There's somebody going to pull out when you pull out. I don't care who you are. You've got some influence. A high schooler has somebody in junior high. You're his hero. You're an athlete. He wants to be like you. What you're going to do, he's going to do. I wonder. Listen, I get letters all across every week of my life. I get letters, young preachers across the country saying, Brother House, stay in there. You're our leader. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Stay in there. I get letters from you saying, Preacher, thank you for sticking with the stuff. Okay! Then you stick with the stuff. Don't quit. You never quit alone. Years ago, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. Becky was five. Oh, no, Becky wasn't five either. She was about 3-4 years old. 3 years old, I guess. And I got to where I couldn't support the cooperative program. I got to where I couldn't send my money to a denomination that sent the money to Baylor University, had dances on campus. I got to where I wouldn't send a dime to Louisville Seminary that had liberals teaching in Louisville Seminary. I wouldn't give one penny to anybody that didn't believe that book. So the day came when they said, okay, if you can't cooperate with us, you won't be of us. And like cowards, they secretly voted us out of the Southern Baptist Convention. A few years ago, I wrote them a letter of thanks. The man, I know his name, but I won't call it. The man who got up that morning and read the motion to vote Joe Boyd and Jack Hiles. By the way, guess what? It was two of us, same time, Joe Boyd, Jack Hiles. We're both pastoring in Dallas. And it was October the 10th. October the 10th is the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement? Yeah. Yeah. That's the day when they took two goats. They kill one. and led the other out in the wilderness, never to come back. They killed Joel, and I've been in the wilderness ever since, wandering around. I'll never forget it. Young evangelist was a friend of ours. His house and I had eaten in their home. They'd eaten in our home. Very popular young evangelist. He came to our house that night. He paced the floor. He said, Brother Jack, he said, you got to do something about this. He said, that's not right. He said, what you ought to do is you ought to publish the truth. And you ought to send it, a copy to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. So I did. He came back a little while later and said, man, you've ruined me. I said, how? He said, you sent that to every pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm getting cancellations everywhere. Brother, you listen to me carefully. I'll stand by my friend if I never get another invitation as long as I live. His song leader was a member of our church. He pulled out of our church. This evangelist severed relationship with me because I was ruining, running around with me was ruining his reputation. Years passed. 8 or 9 years passed. We came to Hammond. I was preaching in Baytown, Texas one night, many years afterwards. Had a wonderful service that night. The altar was full of people. Literally full of people. I was kneeling at the altar. I did not know this young evangelist, who was no longer young then. I did not know he was in the service. Never saw him. I was kneeling at the altar. Great crowd of people around me kneeling. I felt a tug on my shoulder. Looked up, and there was that young evangelist. Listen carefully to this. He said, Brother Jack, he said, forgive me. Forgive me. I thought you were finished. I didn't know you were going to rise again. Oh, Brother Olaf. He called me when it all happened. He said, Brother Jack, you're dead, ain't you? I said, yeah, I'm dead. He said, ain't nobody ever got resurrected, didn't die first. That qualified me for the resurrection. That young evangelist said, Brother Jack, I've lived in misery for all these years. I turned my back on you. He said, would you forgive me? And I said, yes, I would. By the way, wasn't long that young evangelist had a nervous breakdown, had to go to a mental institution. By the way, he was restored to me. But I wonder what happened to those young preachers that followed him. Wonder what happened. The days that I was wrestling about whether or not I should come to pastor this church 31 years ago, I went to that little girl's room back there. Becky was 5. And I knelt beside her bed. And I said, oh my God, that child cannot walk in the will of God. The only hope she's got to be in the will of God is for her dad to be in the will of God. Don't let me make a mistake. Her whole future is at stake. If I quit, she quits. If I make a wrong decision, she makes a wrong decision. So tonight, I don't plan to quit. Because of the people that have stood by me. Because of these bus kids over here. Because of this City Baptist School. Because of Hammond Baptist Schools. Because of those little teachers out there who barely make ends meet. This year our deacons voted to give them all $1,000 raised. That's not much. But thank God they got something. I'm not going to quit because of Mr. Sprunger, Mr. Paulson, Mrs. Colbert, Mr. Laurent. I'm not going to quit because of the students at Howells Anderson College. I'm not going to quit because of our preacher boys from First Baptist Church that are scattered all across this country. I'm not going to quit because of John Baptist Zen. I'm not going to quit because of Andy Briner. I'm not going to quit because of our Howells Anderson College boys scattered across the country. If I quit, I don't quit alone. And by the way, neither do you. Neither do you. You will not quit alone. Somebody's watching you. When I was in school, and I'll close with this, and I'll close with something else after I close with this. Depends on whether you, how much you cry when I finish this. Somebody's watching you. When I was in seminary, Fort Worth, Texas, one day, right in front of me, there was a fellow who sat right in front of me in evangelism class. I walked in, and it was in the main auditorium there in the seminary, the big auditorium, the chapel. And somebody was visiting the campus and they didn't know everybody had a seat reserved. And he walked and sat down right in front of me. When the fellow came to his seat, somebody was sitting there, a middle-aged fella, and this young man said, "Hey, that's my seat there, fella." And the fellow said, "Well, I'm sorry." He said, "Get out of it. It's my seat." "Well," he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." "Well, you did, whether you meant to or not. You're in my seat, now get out of it." A couple of years passed. The young man who was in seminary, whose seat was taken by another, went to candidate at a church. Would you like to guess who the chairman of the pulpit committee was? Would you like to guess whether or not he got the church? I used to work at J.C. Penney Company in Marshall. One day on Saturday afternoon, late on Saturday afternoon, that's the hardest time in the world. Saturday's a busy day. It used to be a busy day at the store. And you worked hard all day. And about 5 minutes before quitting time, lady came in and she said, "I want to buy a belt for my husband." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we have belts for $1.49 and $2.79. It's been a long time ago. You can buy cars cheaper then. You can buy belts now." I said, "Ma'am, what size?" She told me. A small size, about lower now, about a 52 or something like that. And I said, "Ma'am, we just have a $1.49 belt's all we have." She said, "I want a $2.79 belt for my husband." And I said, "Ma'am, we don't have one in his size, $2.79. She said, "Well, I want one $2.79. I said, "Ma'am, I told you we don't have any in his size, $2.79. "Well," she said, "I wanted one for $2.79. I said, "Ma'am, if you want to pay me $2.79, this $1.49 belt, just have at it." The next Sunday, I was preaching out of a certain church. Guess who the pianist was? Sitting over there on the piano. I preached to this crowd over here all during the service. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. I was in seminary. A preacher, one of our graduates in seminary, was taking a cruise by himself, just trying to spend some time studying, getting alone with God, taking a cruise by himself. He did nothing wrong with a lady on the ship. He just got a little too friendly. And they just talked a little bit and they ate together. But nothing wicked wrong, impropriety. But he went to the church to candidate. And there was a couple that was on that cruise that was in that church. And he didn't get the church. Don't quit. You never quit alone. You never quit alone. No student ever leaves Howells Anderson College alone. No disgruntled person ever leaves the church alone. Nobody ever goes into sin alone. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. There's somebody watching you. And they're the next domino after you've fallen. You never quit alone.
our Heavenly Father.